idea. I already said that.
A wiggy welcome to everybody out there on a special emergency episode.
Emergency.
Of the Sneaks and Stats podcast. Welcome, everybody. I'm sure by now you know what happened. What happened, Julian?
The Los Angeles Lakers traded one all-star center, 2020 champion Anthony Davis, to the Dallas Mavericks for Luka Doncic in what I would say is the biggest superstar trade of all time.
Easily.
In the NBA. I've been thinking since it happened, like, comparable, anything that comes close. We were kind of talking about on the way up here, like, maybe you could argue KG for Al Jefferson. They were both, I mean, obviously KG, Hall of Famer, all-time great.
Yeah.
Al Jefferson was an all-star in his own right. The Kareem trade was not for another all-star. That was a big blockbuster trade, though, like, that people didn't see coming. Paul George.
Mid-season, too.
The fact that this is happening in mid-season is wild. And all the rumors and reports that are coming out now from, like, you know, every reporter is trying to get a scoop on this because it is really, like, one of the most crazy trades to happen, I think, in any professional sports league. Yeah,
for sure.
This is insane. When you called me last night, I thought you were joking with me. I thought, yes, you praised me.
So a little insight on how it happened for us. I was getting ready for bed.
As was my son.
As was his, putting his son down to sleep. I called Julian and he was saying, "Oh, what happened?" I was like, "Oh, you didn't hear?" And how I saw it was Shams had posted that tweet with the, and the sentence in the beginning was, "Okay, this is real." Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And put all the info of the trade on there. Did not think it was real. I was searching around for a while. Started getting the phone calls from my cousins and friends. I called Julian, obviously, first person I called right away. And was just in complete shock. Even until right now, we're about over 15 hours or so of knowing and speaking to people about it and stuff. And I'm still kind of in shock about it.
Yeah, so Shams' first tweet, breaking: Dallas Mavericks are trading Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first-round pick.
Uh-huh.
Sources tell ESPN, three-team deal that includes Utah. And then he followed it up, like, minutes later to confirm. Literally everyone thought he was hacked at first.
Yep.
Like, oh, yep, he's hacked. Like, great all-time hack right there to put out a tweet like that. Mm-hmm. But then he goes, "Yes, this is real. Sources tell ESPN, full trade. The Lakers are receiving Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleber, Markieff Morris. The Mavericks are receiving Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 LA first-round pick. And the Jazz, as part of, like, a money part of the thing, the Lakers needed to offset a little bit more money to get Luka. They sent out Jalen Hutchinson to the Jazz, a 2025 Clippers second-round pick, which I believe came from the Mavs, and a 2025 Mavericks second-round pick."
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for...
So that's the full trade, but he literally had to confirm that this is real. So, and then shortly after that, I think like 20 minutes after that, ESPN... I mean, Shams works for ESPN now, so, you know, once their reporter feels confident enough to tweet it, they feel confident to tweet it. Yeah, they sent it out. So it kind of was like, this is real.
Yeah, and you know by now, Nico Harrison, the general manager for the Mavericks, I believe he spoke to Rob first, and when it came to a conversation where this could really happen, that he called Rich Paul, and then basically, that's all the people that really knew about it. Or Genie and all that. Rob spoke to Genie in the front office and stuff like that. And once that all happened, he called Rich Paul. And basically, super behind the scenes, no one knew about it. Shams didn't even know about it. And it happened real quick. They were saying conversation started a couple of days ago.
Well, so I read in the Dallas Morning Star this morning an article from Brad Townsend that said, Nico Harrison said, I think he gave an interview to the Dallas Morning News and or maybe this was said during the press conference this morning that him and Jay Kidd held, that the initial conversations like were just like they got coffee together. Nico Harrison, the Mavs GM, and Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM, had coffee like a month ago, he mm-hmm. said. And it kind of started like, hey, would you ever
What do you think about this?
Yeah. And it was like, would I do that? I don't know. Maybe. Like, let's talk more. But I do think this probably really came together just like you said, like kind of late hour, midnight deal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the trade deadline is not for a few more days, so there's still potentially more things that could happen.
Yeah, let's talk about how, like, let's get into the actual trade itself. So, basically, yeah. You got the big guns, right? Traded for each other. What was interesting that you brought up that obviously is going to be a thing too that everyone talks about is the one pick only for Luka.
I mean, just unprecedented, especially in this day and age. I think, you know, we were talking about the Gobert trade a lot because I think that, like we talked about, I think that ended up being like 7 picks
right.
came to the Jazz from either the Wolves, and I don't know if there was a third team involved in that, but right. I think it totaled about 7 picks. Let's see. Yeah, they got a 2023 first round pick, which they used to select Keontae George, a 2025 first round pick, a 2026 first round pick, a 2027 first round pick, and a 2029 first round pick. So five first round picks.
Jeez.
Utah also received a trade exception. And then I think they have pick swap rights. Utah does as well. So
and that's another thing. No, they didn't get any swaps. They only got the first round. Obviously, you're not gonna. Well, there was a second round involved, but I think that came from another team.
I think the second rounds only went to the Jazz though.
Yes.
The only thing the Mavs got back was the Lakers round. 2029 first round pick, which you're really banking on Luka not re-signing with the Lakers
yeah.
for that pick to be as valuable as it should be. I mean,
and so right, and so don't you think they should have taken the 31 pick because Luka by then will be seven years removed from this trade, and the Lakers will probably be even worse shape than 29.
That's what you have to bank on. 2029 is
so they probably should have taken the later one, right?
2020. I don't exactly know what picks the Lakers have. I think you said they have the 2030 and
it's well 29 and 31 are the only ones they can trade.
So yeah, why wouldn't you take a 30 or a 31?
Right.
That's 5 years from now. Luka's going to be 30. Like,
and you want to assume that maybe
4 years
from maybe
now.
They'll be yeah he's kind of like you know a little bit older, but 29 they're still kind of competing.
Luka's still should be in his prime,
right?
He's people suspect that he's entering his prime, and he's already been ridiculous.
Yes,
so I think the biggest takeaway was that Luka was available. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And we'll get into a little bit about the supposed reasoning for moving him in the first place.
Yeah.
But B, that it like we just were talking about the whole time. One, I mean, all NBA, MVP level, I think, top 10, we'll say, easy. Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're getting. It's not like you're getting a scrub. Like, mm-hmm. you're getting a legit champion. You're getting right. One of the best players in the league. And one first round pick, but compare just looking at it, AD's 31, Luka's 25.
Yeah.
Everyone in the league thinks that he's going to win multiple MVPs and multiple championships.
Yeah.
And AD just can't give you the future that Luka does.
Yes. Which is why people understand why they did it for the now, right? Because
yeah.
Because now you have that, you know, you traded their star future, but you have a guy who's can win for you now. We were saying earlier, AD probably has around 2 to 4 years left of this elite type of play.
He, like we said, this is his
12th
year.
We want to hope at least. Yeah. Yeah, we want to hope at least. So we understand that from that
13th year.
Yeah. So he's
been around
a little long in the tooth.
He's playing. But no, I do believe that he will be good through the end of his contract extension, which He has a player option in the 27-28 season for $62 million. I can't imagine he doesn't sign that at that point in his career.
Also, I don't see him being unhappy and moving again, right?
I mean, he's...
Could he, though? Yeah, maybe.
I felt like he wanted to stay in L.A. for the rest of his career.
Yeah, same.
Who knows if the... Obviously, the Lakers did not feel the same. Obviously, they were willing to move him. But I also kind of feel like if you get a phone call saying, hey, would you like Luka Doncic? Almost no matter the price, you say yes.
And same goes for every team. Who's going to say... You're going to at least look at it, right?
How could you not?
If you're any team in the league.
I saw some conflicting reports, too. Sideline sources said on Instagram that the Mavs reportedly called at least one other team.
Yeah.
But Bleacher Report is saying they did not talk to any other team. Yeah, I mean, that being said, like, it is... I think it's crazy to leverage your future.
Yeah.
If you're the Mavs. He was like Dirk, too, you know? He came in at the end of Dirk's career, another European player. Kind of big, not big like Dirk, but, you know, it just seemed like the perfect passing of the torch.
Yeah. Exactly. To the younger guy coming in.
Led you to the finals last year, led the league in scoring. He's been on the All-NBA first team 5 years in a row, every year except his rookie season. He probably won't end up being eligible for postseason awards this year with how many games he's missed.
Yeah.
It'll be close, but
I
don't know. I don't think this is necessarily a bad trade I don't know. It's just such a
it works for both teams in either the way you look at it, right? Perspective wise, because like I said, it's a now thing for the Mavericks.
Yes.
It's a future thing for the Lakers. What you said earlier too is kind of interesting. How this might ruin the chances for the Lakers to win a championship this year and next year, which I can see too. But
it depends, right? Yeah.
But also they only gave up that one pick, so we still have the 31st.
We can make
2031.
Moves. We can make moves.
We still have pieces. We still have that pick. Rumors are saying that they are still searching the market for aggressively for a center.
They better
So I think even if they were to get not a serviceable, but a pretty big, you're gonna get a pretty good player, hopefully, for that first round pick and whoever you send. Hopefully that will be enough to at least contend this season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess
you know,
that's how I feel, is that LeBron and Luka could work really, really well. I could see it being like Kyrie and LeBron in Cleveland. That obviously worked really, really well to have two guys that have the ball in their hands. Kyrie kind of led that offense as far as having the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
I could see it working the same, you know, with Luka, but there is always that chance of as you've been saying, our defense is going to be paper thin now. It's going to be saloon doors. Just walk right in.
Just feed the inside.
Yeah. So
who do you think, let's get into a little bit of the teams now. Who do you think benefits from this trade on the team, and who do you think this hurts on the team? I think this kind of hurts for the Lakers, Austin Reeves. I think I think now you move him to the bench. Because why would you have
move,
all three?
You could move him. You could trade him, I think. I mean, at this point
you have your guy, your creator.
Yeah, you have your creator. Reeves has been a good shooter, but he's not the guy to just stick in the corner. You know, he creates well on offense with the ball in his
hands, effective
going to the hole.
Yes.
And he's kind of the hot young piece, you know, teams are interested in him. So I agree that it hurts Reeves. Maybe if Christian Wood would ever step foot on a basketball court, this is good for him. You know,
someone brought that up earlier today, was Christian Wood's best season was when he was healthy playing with Luka. They had a pretty good rapport in terms of pick and pop, and roll. But who knows? Nobody's even saying when Christian Wood is coming back. So I mean, that's something that
we're
not thinking of right now. I think on the Mavericks, who does it hurt a little bit? It might hurt one of the bigs, maybe both Lively and Gafford's time might get cut a little bit. Maybe Lively more likely.
Probably
PJ Washington as well.
Yeah, probably.
So one of the bigs, I think they get affected.
I do think, despite how crazy it is to send, you just don't know. We could be sitting here in 5 years being like, man, what fools we were, like Luka.
Yeah.
Because essentially the thought right now is Luka is going to be a multi-time MVP winner, a multi-time champion.
Yeah.
And you just don't have that guarantee with Anthony Davis. So that's not that it's guaranteed with Luka, but everyone suspects that. So that's kind of what it seems like.
Right.
Is going to be happening. Derek Lively is going to be out for at least a month, but I do think the Mavs are going to have an awesome team now with AD. I think he's this great defensive centerpiece. He doesn't have to play center anymore, which was always a problem for him. Mm-hmm. I think the three-man rotation of bigs between him, Lively, once Lively is back for like that last few months playoff push, everything, and Daniel Gafford, it's going to be... Their defense is going to be... Klay is a good defensive mind.
He yes.
lost a step, obviously.
Just that this age and stuff, yeah.
So, they're going to... I think they could be contenders. I think Anthony Davis is underrated. I think he's one of the best players in the NBA, so...
I personally think it is going to be a little bit of an uphill climb, though, considering where they are in the standings. They are going to have to reel off a few wins, maybe even a nice little win streak, you know, maybe 4 or 5 games or so, just to kind of get themselves back into the maybe higher of the play-in rankings. But like I said, they are in 8th or 9th right now, I believe. So there isn't that much room in between from like 3 to 10, right? Maybe it's about to make 3 to 4 games. Anybody can go on a run and things will switch. But they can definitely do it, I think, if they can put it all together.
It does. I mean, the Mavericks have been used to it since Luke has been out for a while, but this does completely change the identity of that
team. Oh, big time.
And Jay Kidd didn't know this was happening until it happened. And supposedly Nico Harrison says, you know, oh, we're on the same page, so I know what kind of players he likes and wants on the team. And he said he was on the Lakers coaching staff when they won the championship, so he knows AD, which is...
There's familiarity there.
But there is going to be a small margin of error for them to be able to really make a push. Because I think if you're the Mavs and you really think this is the move that makes you a championship contender, I think you got to finish in the top four. You got to have home court advantage at least in the first round.
Yeah.
So,
And the Lakers aren't that far from there. They're literally one game off to tie Denver for the fourth seed. I think obviously now Luka is injured. What the talk is that he's ramping up to come back right before All-Star break, which is in about a week or so.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Which is good to me. You obviously want the team to kind of be together longer to see, so they don't have as much time to mesh. You know, with it being the second half of the season already.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think there's a clear winner and loser in this trade?
I would say the Lakers, if we're talking bigger picture, right?
Yeah. So getting into kind of the bigger picture stuff, you know, the thought is, so here's some quotes from the... supposedly, the worry for the Mavericks was paying Luka the supermax that he was, the 5-year supermax that he was going to be eligible for this summer. Mm-hmm. Right now, Luka is under contract, obviously, for this year.
Yeah.
He is under contract for next year. And then he has a player option in 26-27. So, supposedly, Nico Harrison, the GM, was worried that there was the potential that he wouldn't sign the supermax.
Yeah,
I'm sure there was money worries because the supermax he was eligible for was 5-year, $345 million,
yeah, something like that.
And now, according to Bobby Marks of ESPN, it's only 5-year, $229 million, which obviously a ridiculous amount of money. But to lose $120 million, and someone pointed out online in the comments on this tweet that technically all the contracts in Texas are worth a little bit more because there's no state income tax in Texas.
Right.
So he's going to get hit twice on taxes being in California now. But yeah, so the thought is that here's the quote that I thought really stood out. We really felt like this is Nico Harrison talking to the Dallas Morning News. We really felt like we got ahead of what was going to be a tumultuous summer. Him being eligible for the Supermax and also a year away from him being able to opt out of any contract, Harrison said. And so we really felt like we got out in front of that. We know teams that have had it out there. Teams have been loading up to try and sign him once that comes available. Which is true. Like, you just don't know what a player is going to do. But I think, you know, in our episode that's going to come out tomorrow, we talk about the trade deadline and, in particular, Jimmy Butler. And this is the era of player empowerment. Most of these star players are getting traded. They're not signing away. The last time I feel like that there was a huge star of Luka's level that signed with a different team was LeBron with the Lakers, kind of.
I mean,
I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but Dame was traded. Cat was traded. Gobert was traded. Jimmy has been traded like 3 times KD. In the last 5 years. KD has been traded a couple times.
Yeah.
Harden's been traded. Kyrie's been traded. Yep. It seems like if you have, and that's what the Supermax is supposed to do. It gives the hometown team this huge advantage to re-sign this player over anyone else in the league.
Right.
Of course, you know, like we just said, any player can be like, I want out, trade me.
Yeah.
Once they're already on that huge contract. But I think that's just a risk you have to take
for
Luka Doncic, personally.
And the way that it was handled is what irks me a little bit with all these things that have come out in the last 12 hours, how the situation was handled, who knew about it, which is why I'm happy you brought this topic up. When does it become, like, do you feel how Nico Harrison, considering his history, we'll talk about that, do you feel that how he handled this trade and how he went about the trade, up until the trade, do you think it was fair how he handled it, what he said after? Or is it like this? You know, you're in the NBA. You're a professional athlete. This is part of the business.
It's part of the business.
So do you get what I'm trying to ask you?
Yeah. It's part of the business. Like, this stuff is inevitable for any. Well, obviously now you would think, like, LeBron is probably the only guy in modern NBA history, and Kobe. But of course, there was all those rumors about Kobe wanting to leave.
There was that time when he Chicago or the Clippers.
But even now, LeBron, I think more than any other player, has held all the cards.
Yeah,
like we talked about, KD has been traded usually from his own demands or wants. LeBron is the only guy in the league that could say, "You're not trading me."
Yeah,
like he had that power, but you never thought You never thought a guy like Luka would get traded. A guy like Giannis, you don't expect to be traded away. And like you brought up in the beginning, mid-season is nuts.
Does it irk you a little bit how Nico handled it?
Yes, because supposedly he was shopping him. It wasn't like supposedly, and even he kind of confirms this. He says that Nico Harrison told the Dallas Morning News that he and Pelinka began having basketball conversations more than a month ago.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we're like, would you ever do this? And he said were, as in the Mavericks organization.
Like as a group, yeah.
And nah, you're joking, right? Presumably that's Rob's response. Interesting, maybe I would. And then he said, and then it just built up over time over the last 3 weeks. So to shop your 25-year-old all NBA first team, led you to your first NBA finals in 13 years. What are you doing, dude? Like,
yes.
And now you've ripped the heart out of your fan base too. Even though I really do think they have an awesome shot this year, but you just said, hey, the next 10 years are a question mark again. Mm-hmm. They weren't. No one thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. Now they are.
But look what I did for you.
Especially, I don't know if Derek Lively is going to be an all-star, but yeah. like that's a pretty solid running mate to have with Luka as like just a good, hey, here's a lob. Like,
yeah,
that's going to be a fun team at the very least, no mm-hmm. matter what. So yeah, I think poor decision making by Nico Harrison.
Yeah, and what bothers me the most too, let's just, you know, if I was Luka, I don't like the, obviously they're dressing up these things that he's saying to make it seem more PC and stuff. But if I was Luka, I don't like these little shots he's taking at me with the defense wins championships.
There's been reports that they're worried about his conditioning.
Worried about the conditioning. You're basically calling me, you know, regardless if it's true or not.
Which I do think there has been that thing of like, oh, Luka looks a little out of shape.
Yes.
But he's played in rookie year 72 games, 61 games the next season, which was the weird right. COVID season, 66 games the season after that, which again was a shortened season, 65 and 21, 22, which was a full season, 66, 22, 23. He played 70 games last year.
Yeah.
That's not great, but that's pretty damn good.
But also, if he's not following your conditioning program that you have for him or that the trainers have for him, right? But he's performing the way he's performing. Why are you upset about it?
Something's working. Yeah, exactly. And like obviously in the playoffs, he's like just completely stepping it up to the point where like, you know, he's averaging right now on his career with the Mavericks, which is his whole career, 35 right. minutes a game. It goes up to 39 in the playoffs, and last year it went up to 41. So right. he's able to do it. Like,
And an argument can be made that he got tired in the finals, right? Kyrie was hurt, right? And he kind of was trying to carry the team and just couldn't happen, do it with that Celtics team. But so you do have a little bit of an argument there. But like I said, if the performance is there, why should you be so worried about his conditioning program? And now was that just your excuse to get rid of him, right?
Yeah, like I don't think...
Or was I don't that think just of one of your excuses?
AD had this rep, right, of being a guy that's always injured.
Harden. It, on the Rockets, right?
Was never in shape, but he still played pretty well.
Right.
I don't think Luka was the guy that people were like, oh, he's always injured.
Yeah.
He's a little whiny. He's a bit of a diva. But, yeah. like, he's still, like you said, his performance on the floor is incredible. Yeah. So,
Which should make the conditioning not an issue.
Right? Tell us about Nico Harrison. We talked about this briefly in an episode from a long time ago, but
yeah,
I do think it's important to bring up.
Yeah, so because we were talking about how this was kind of a questionable process that he had for this trade. He was the one of the executives for Nike that was in charge of recruiting these top players and NBA rookies, stars to sign with them. Have shoes, you know, be the star for the brand. So he was the star. He was that executive for Nike, in talks with Steph Curry and the you know had their meeting set up and everything. Rumor has it that he called Steph Seth Curry. They also used the presentation that they used for Kevin Durant to recruit him from two years before that. To recruit KD to Nike,
crazy.
And which showed KD's name, and they had to stop the video and restart the whole thing again. Which is, it's like, you got to be prepared for these kind of things, right? So this was one of the main stories that Nico Harrison is known for, which is what is making this thing and this trade and what he's saying
makes it suspect.
Suspect, and but also, if he did that back then, I mean,
right now if I was a betting man, I would say by the summer of 2026, I would be surprised if he's still the Mavs GM.
Yeah.
Not to say the Mavs are going to all of a sudden take a nosedive and be bad.
Yeah, even if they're bad or good.
I think it might depend on how good Luka and the Lakers are, honestly.
Yeah. Like,
if somehow the Lakers beat the Mavericks in the playoffs this year
or
next year, he's going to be in some hot water. He's going to be in some really hot water.
Also these things that are being said, right? If I was Luka, I would expect a crazy revenge tour as soon as he puts on that Laker jersey.
He's both Luka and AD got
AD
pissed.
For sure too.
They got to be super pissed right now. Mm-hmm. I kind of said to you before the show that maybe at some point when AD's retired, you can look back and be like, well, if Luka Doncic was available, how do I say no?
Yeah,
I would trade me too, but. That's not the case right now. Like, I would be pissed if I was I would be heartbroken. I would be a lot of things.
Right.
Wrapping up here, I just wanted to kind of break this down for you and for everybody. I just thought it was kind of interesting. So, to go way back to 2017, Lakers draft Tony Bradley.
Okay.
And then we trade Tony Bradley to the Jazz for Thomas Bryant and one Josh Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Then 2019, after LeBron's first season, the Lakers trade Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, DeAndre Hunter, Brandon Ingram, cash, 2022 first round pick that ended up being Dyson Daniels.
Yeah.
Who played briefly for the Pelicans and now on the Hawks.
Awesome.
He's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
He's really good. He leads the league in steals right now.
He's great.
2023 first round pick, which ended up being a pick swap. And a 2025 pick that we will owe them for this year, which I think is another pick swap kind of situation, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then now we've sent Anthony Davis along with Max Christie and Jalen Hood-Schifino out. In exchange, we got Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleber, Markieff Morris. So in a way, you can look at this and say the Lakers traded Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, DeAndre Hunter, Brandon Ingram, Max Christie, Dyson Daniels, potentially, as a pick, a 2025 first-round pick, and a 2029 first-round pick for Luka, Maxi, and Markieff Morris.
Yes. Yeah. I like that you did that. That's pretty cool.
That's a lot of good pieces, but Luka Doncic...
At the end, yeah.
I do think having Kleber will be nice, too. I just think we just need a defensive...
Yeah. And so for those of you out there watching, Kleber is most likely not going to play this season, I think. He's hurt.
Oh, I forgot that he's been out pretty much the whole season.
Yes, and Markieff Morris is also not available. So
no.
We got our guy.
We got Luka.
And he's not available also.
Also, something that I thought was interesting is that this is already the second time in his career, technically, that Luka's been traded, because he was drafted by the Hawks, third overall.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of one of those things of like, hey, pick this guy and then we'll trade you for this guy.
Yeah, there was an agreement in place.
Which I always think is funny. I know there was that fourth team in there. I honestly can't think of who it is right now.
Yeah.
That could have snagged Luka if he wasn't picked by the Hawks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just interesting.
Do you think the Lakers... So the trade deadline is in 3 days, February 6th. Do you think the Lakers are done?
No.
I don't think so either. I think they're... I think they finally get a... They're, I know we spoke about it, but I think they get a big.
They're still shopping, for sure. If they can pull something off, who knows?
Yeah.
People are going to know their buyers right now, so that could change how things look.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked, and even though I really like him, I wouldn't be too upset if Austin Reeves left, depending on what we got back. I don't want to trade Austin Reeves for Dylan Brooks, you know?
But, I mean, you can kind of imagine or have a good imagination of what you can get if it was that first round and Austin.
That's a
nice awesome package.
Hopefully, we talked about, I feel like the target has to be Miles Turner. He's always in the rumor mill. He is such a good defensive center.
But the only thing right now is that there's a rumor that the Pacers will possibly don't want to pay him $31 million
They've always had an interest in getting rid of him for some reason.
Right. And the Lakers were in trade talks for him, with him and Buddy at one point, which we eventually just said, you know what, they didn't go with it.
Yeah.
So like you said, he has been in talks, but the Pacers are fifth right now. So
who knows?
Who knows if they're even.
I wouldn't want to keep him if I was a Pacers.
Sellers. But, no, for sure.
Just to round things out here, kind of a retrospective on these guys' respective careers with their former teams. 5.5 seasons for AD with the Lakers, 1 ring, 4 All-Stars, including this year, 1 first-team All-NBA selection, 1 second-team All-NBA selection, 312 games played out of like a potential 420-ish, somewhere around there, 25.9 points per game, 11.5 rebounds per game, 3.3 assists, 1.3 steals, 2.3 blocks, 2.3 turnovers, only 2.4 fouls, which I was like, that's really good.
Yeah.
53.2% from the field, 28.2% from three, and 79 41.4% from the free throw line on 7.6 free throw attempts. Luka, of course, 2018-2019 Rookie of the Year. Six-time All-Star, if you include this year. Five-time NBA First Team, All-NBA First Team. Third in MVP voting last year, and led the Mavs to the finals, of course. Led the league in scoring last year. 28.6 points per game, 8.7 rebounds per game, 8.3 assists per game, 1.2 steals, half a block, 4 turnovers per game, 2.3 fouls on 47% shooting, 34.8 from downtown, with 3 makes from downtown per game, and 74.8% from the free throw line. So,
two studs of moving teams. We'll see as soon as, I don't know when the Mavs next game is, but in these next couple of days.
They play today against the Cavs. AD is obviously not going to play.
He's not going to play. That's too soon. All the paperwork and all this.
Physicals and yeah, all that. Yeah, he won't play today. He's supposed to be out for a week anyways. Yeah. So I would not be surprised if he didn't come back till after the All-Star break.
For sure. But welcome, Luka, to the Lakers. We are very excited to see you play, obviously, next to LeBron, too.
And City of Stars here in LA.
That's right. It's going to be awesome to see you in a Laker uniform. But also, shout out to Mr. AD the Brow. We are very sad that you're leaving.
He's on the way out.
On the way. AD out. On the way to Dallas. But, hey, you held it down for the city. You held it down with Bron. You played
the last few years. He's been playing.
So to all those people that still speak about that narrative that he's an injury guy, clothes. Cut that already. He's played more than KD and Kawhi.
You know? No, he's been playing, and I think that's what hurts is that he's been on the floor. That's the most important thing, and playing really well.
So yeah,
I think he should be getting MVP and obviously Defensive Player of the Year votes.
Yes,
he would be my Defensive Player of the Year. But
I agree too.
Sad to see him go, but it is exciting. Yeah. You know, thinking about the future, the next 5 to 8 years, hopefully at minimum. So
gonna be weird seeing him in another uniform. But you know, thanks for all you did for the city. You were an awesome Laker
during Bubble championship, baby.
Got a ring for the city. You were awesome during COVID and stuff. But you know, best of luck in Dallas to AD.
Yes, don't
worry. And Max too. Sorry, Max. You were
awesome. Yeah, I was a big Max Christie guy. It sucks to see him go, but I think he'll have a good career.
Yeah, showed a lot of growth this year. So you know, hopefully that continues.
Thanks for joining us for this emergency podcast, everybody. If you haven't already, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Threads, X, TikTok, TikTok.
If you didn't delete it.
Like and subscribe on YouTube, and stay tuned. New episode tomorrow.
Don't forget.
Film it a few days ago, so you know, make sure you watch this one too.
You know the deal.
If you're not watching this right now, make sure you
make
watch
sure you
it.
Watch it tomorrow.
Thank you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Later.
Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!